This is Kevin Harlan. This Friday, the NBA on Prime crew and I are back with another exciting Emirates NBA Cup doubleheader. First, Bam Adebayo and the Heat take on Jalen Brunson and the Knicks. Then, Steph Curry and the Warriors square off against Wemby and the Spurs. If you're not a Prime member, just sign up for a free 30-day trial. Heat Knicks, Warriors Spurs. Coverage starts Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, only on Prime. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Du bist ein Raider, der sich unter der Erde niedergelassen hat. Doch jetzt musst du an die Oberfläche zurückkehren. Dorthin, wo die Ark-Maschinen umherstreifen. Wenn du mutig genug bist, wer weiß, was du da oben findest. Ark Raiders. Ein Multiplayer-Extraction-Abenteuer-Videospiel. Jetzt erhältlich für PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X und S sowie PC.
Welcome back. It's another Bob and Tom Extra. This is Christopher. Not only is the Bob and Tom Show live every weekday morning, but every afternoon we'll give you a little extra in case you missed anything.
Coming up on the big show today, comedian Mike Birbiglia. He's coming up right after this.
This is Kevin Harlan. This Friday, the NBA on Prime crew and I are back with another exciting Emirates NBA Cup doubleheader. It all tips off with Bam Adebayo and the Miami Heat taking on Jalen Brunson and the New York Knicks in an East Coast rivalry. Then, Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors go toe-to-toe with Victor Wembanyama and the San Antonio Spurs. It all comes your way this Friday on Prime. And if you're not a Prime member, that's not a problem. Sign up for a free 30-day trial to get started today. The Heat and Knicks, the Warriors and Spurs. Coverage starts Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Only on Prime. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
After a long day of blessing tourists and pilgrims in St. Peter's Square, it's time to kick back, loosen the old cassock, and enjoy a tall, cold one. And if you're the Pope, there's only one brand of beer you reach for, and that's White Smoke Ale.
Hey, it's me, the Pope, and I'm here to tell you that the secret to making a good beer is in the water. So you gotta forget about your mountain streams and your pure Arctic springs, eh? Because a White Smoke Ale is made with holy water. Bam! We just kicked every other beer's hoppy butts, you know? Even those snotty microbrews with their two-row malted barley and a citrus and pine notes. Ugh. Unless you're drinking with squirrels, why would you want a pine notes in your beer anyway?
We confess, White Smoke Ale is Beechwood aged, so it goes down smooth. Stop doing penance for overpriced beer that doesn't satisfy. Once you try White Smoke Ale, it's one habit that's hard to break.
Hey, I don't mean to get all holier than thou here, even though that's basically my job description. But most people are virgins to good beer. Oh. And not in a good way. I mean, look at this swill you drink, eh? Frankly, it all tastes like a Schlitz to me. But not White Smoke Ale. This stuff is a heavenly. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I think if they had served this at the Last Supper, I bet you the big guy might have stuck around for a couple extra days, you know?
It's the beer that made the Vatican famous. White Smoke Ale.
I like it in the bottle.
I like it in the can.
No. Wow. That would be a sin. Wow. You should drink a beer out of glass. Almost it tastes made. A lot better.
And look for our latest seasonal brew, Highest Pumpkin Spicy.
Even my older frat brothers, the Cardinals, love it. Right, fellas?
Tastes great, less fallible. Tastes great, less fallible.
Okay, settle down, you knuckleheads. These guys are so crazy. They was trying to tell me the patron saint of a beer was a St. Pauli girl. The only beer for us is a White Smoke Ale. Just a one sip, and I guarantee you'll pass over other brands. See what I did there?
That's White Smoke Ale, the king of kings of beer.
And remember, if you've had too much to drink, give someone else the keys to the Popemobile.
It's our way of making sure you haven't missed anything. This is Bob and Tom Extra.
And here's Tom with our very special guest.
Nice. All right. It's great to see him again. He is comedian Mike Birbiglia.
Good morning.
Mike's been our guest for many, many years. And Mike is currently on tour with a show that's going to eventually land at the Beacon Theater in New York City. Is it in March?
March, yeah. Wow. That's the finale.
This is great. And I saw the show. I went to Chicago to see the show. It was fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
It's a great show. And now, what is the title of the show? I'm confused.
The touring title was Please Stop the Ride, which is a reference to a story I told years ago when I was... about how when I was a kid, we would go on the Scrambler. You remember the Scrambler?
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
They put you in a thing and they lock you in and you're inside of a circle, which is inside of another circle, inside of a circle. And I went on with a girl I had a crush on when I was in seventh grade. And I thought that we were going to make out and at the carnival, and we didn't. I threw up off the side of the trailer. So when I started the tour, I thought, well, that's a good, because I remember being on that Scrambler and thinking, I need to tell the Scrambler operator he needs to stop the ride. But the mathematics of the Scrambler are such that the window of opportunity in which one can communicate with the Scrambler operator is very limited. So I was like, I got to tell the guy to stop the ride. I got to tell the guy to stop the ride. They stopped the ride. And then back and scrambling, scrambling, scrambling. And then cut to, I throw up off the side of the Scrambler, and we didn't make it. But that was when I started the tour. It was thematically what the show is about. It was like, I'm doing a bunch of material about... but raising a child and flashing back to when I was a kid. And then over time, it's become The Good Life. That's the new title of the show, which is loosely based on, I don't know if you guys have this, but in Brooklyn, there's like smoke shops everywhere.
Yeah.
That have these cutesy names. And the other day, my daughter, who's 9, looks up. She goes, Dad, what's The Good Life? And that's what it's called. And I was like, I don't even know. It's not what I'm doing. And then I'm trying to explain drugs. And, you know, I'm just like, you know, there's some drugs that make your brain go faster and some that make your brain go slower. And I can't think of the drawbacks, but there's probably some. And I don't think you should use them, but I do sometimes, not often. Mostly when I was younger, not your age, like 3 years older than you are now. But it's a lot of like, you know, like this show is just a lot about how much I can't explain to my daughter. I'm sure Christy, you can relate to.
How old's your daughter?
Yeah.
How old is she now?
She's 9.
I got a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
That's the thing Tom and I have in common because we're the same age.
Well, Christy offered advice early. Remember about Tom having kids?
You know, most normal men stop having children.
Oh, no. Don't say normal, Christy.
Now, obscure insider comedy thing I want to do here that no one's going to pick up on this, but maybe somebody tonight, or if they see Mike's been coming on our show for 20-plus years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I talked to him briefly after the show in Chicago. And one of the first jokes he ever told re-emerges in this show with a new tag. That's all I'm going to say.
Gosh, yes, true.
For those people out there that really know Mike's work, I was watching the show, really enjoying it. All the night, I went to Kelly. That's an old joke, but he's got a great new tag on it. So obscure comedy.
Well, I won't say the joke, but I will say this: how that joke comes up is because. Christy, you might find this interesting.
Yes.
This year, did you catch this? I got invited to meet the Pope.
Oh, yeah. I did catch that.
That was a wild one.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Which was very surprising to me.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think he's seen my act. I don't think he has Netflix. I think he has Popeflix. Because, it was, I found out because Jim Gaffigan, our friend Jim Gaffigan, called me. And he was like, so the Pope wants to meet some comedians, and you're on the list, and I'm on the list, and I don't know. I'm going to go. And I said to him, I go, well, that's such an honor, but does the Pope know, Pope Francis, does he know we're comedians? We're going to probably talk about this on stage, and Jim goes, he's got to know. And so I, you know, I thought about it, and then I went, and it was unbelievable. Do you remember seeing this? It was like Chris Rock.
I do remember seeing this because I think I said something, because the Vatican is such an amazing place anyway. I was just there this summer, and to be in that room with the Pope, I can't imagine.
So strange, you know, and it was very strange because my, you know, I'm introducing my daughter to it, and I was raised in that whole universe, right? Like when I was a kid, I wanted to be a priest, mostly because of the laughs.
I thought you were going to say the wardrobe.
I like the wardrobe. I like, they just get, you know, I was, as a kid, I was going to church going, this is way, they're getting way too many laughs on this material. Mm-hmm. There are barely jokes here. You know, it'd be like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John Boy. People would be like, Father Timothy's hilarious. Like, he's not hilarious. Get me some altar time. I would kill up there. But yeah, no, it was very moving. It was, you know, the Pope spoke to, it was like Chris Rock and Whoopi Goldberg and Stephen Colbert and all these people, and it was Jim Gaffigan, Conan O'Brien. It was just like this unbelievable. And I was at, and I'm, to be very clear, I was at the bottom of that list. They called me in May to go in June. I'm pretty sure there was an April list.
You think somebody fell off?
I think there was some fallouts.
Maniscalco dropped out, I heard.
Well, Maniscalco, maybe. I think what probably happened is that, you know, a few people dropped out. The Pope Googled comedian on his Dell laptop, and then he sees his last name from birth is Bergoglio.
Oh.
My last name is Birbilia. And so I think he might have been like, is it Birbilia? I'm a Bergoglio. Is it my long lost cousin? He doesn't talk like that, of course. He's not Italian, but I don't know if the comedy community has signed off on the Buenos Aires accent yet. So until then, mamma mia, I'm the Pope.
Did you all fly over together in the same plane?
No, you know, we were, you know, we got a seat. It was like a very seat of our pants kind of thing. There was a handful of emails that went around and said, you're invited to this. And there was a letter, but it could have been fake. You know what I mean? It could have been a catfishing Pope scam. And then, you know, and it was kind of like, you know, you get your way, find your way over there, put yourself up, figure it out.
Show up at this time.
And we did. And it was, I thought it was lovely. I mean, it was, you know, I have a lot of jokes about it on stage that undercut that notion, but.
Did you kiss the ring, shake a hand?
He doesn't do kiss the ring that much. He's not into that. That's actually one of the things I like about this Pope. He's very different.
Was it more down to earth?
A traditional Western handshake or a low five?
A traditional Western handshake.
Slapping a low five.
That's what I always call it. A traditional Western.
From the Judeo-Christian tradition. I'm just asking.
We shook his hand. And it was funny because I think all of us, thought as comedians, we just thought we were going to speak with the Pope, but it wasn't that. It was the Pope.
You didn't get to do five for him?
No, we didn't do five. There's no communication. I mean, he spoke to us about comedy, which I think is a great example of power corrupting. It's like if you meet Chris Rock, you don't go, I'm going to give him a speech about comedy.
Well, I'm the Pope. I must know about this.
I must know about this.
Have you heard the prayer of the clown, Mikey?
Yeah. And then, you know, and then it's like me showing up at NASA, like, I got some thoughts on rockets, fellas. You know, I think we should build them. And then
Did he do any jokes? I mean,
he didn't kind of jokes, but I think that there were, you know, there were things that sounded like jokes that I think everyone politely laughed at.
Yeah, do you think he was kind of hoping for a good laugh? Well, after it was over, he walked backstage to one of his buddies and went, what do you think?
If the priest is getting laughs, I think the Pope gets the most polite.
I would think.
Of course. No,
there was a lot of polite laughter. And it was also a translation. We had he was speaking Italian. We had a sheet on our seat that was the translation. We had a sheet that had the translation, and then it said our names on the seat, like a little sheet of paper. And so we're going up to him, and he speaks English, but he doesn't really. Sure. It's like, let's be honest. And And so I thought, well, I'll hold up the thing that says Mike Birbiglia. And I went up to him and I was just like, I'm Birbiglia. You are Bergoglio. I'm the next pope. And he laughed at that, but he doesn't speak English, so there's no way.
Our guest is comedian Mike Birbiglia. And Mike's got some great movies out there.
There's a lot in the mix.
A lot of stuff going on. Books, et cetera, et cetera. The father of a beautiful 9-year-old. And on tour. A few more stops for the tour. And then will this be, can you even say, is this going to be like a Netflix thing? Or do you know what's going to happen?
It'll come out as a special, I think, next year. Probably, yeah.
Now, when you're doing something like this, and you do a series of them, do you ever think of a new joke while you're up there? And do you say to yourself, I'm going to try to remember this when I get off stage? Or do you actually try it on any given night? Or
I would describe it as, this is like a 60-city tour. I think every show has a few more jokes, a few more things structurally changed. You know, it's like, I always talk about these shows because they're autobiographical. All my shows are like based on kind of the most personal parts of my life. And you don't know what's going to happen in your life. So at the beginning of the tour, it's different from the end of the tour. It's 2 years of your life. You don't know what's going to happen. So it's like, it started out as this idea of like, oh, what am I going to teach my daughter? I don't know all that much stuff. And then my dad had a medical incident on January that was really hard. So we've been home a lot. My brother Joe and I have been home quite a bit. And so it's really been a reflection on like, what did my dad teach me when I was a kid? And what can I teach my daughter? And it becomes kind of a generational show. Yeah. Which is why it's called The Good Life.
Do you find that you will have a thought and you don't express it on stage and you get off stage and go, I have this great idea and you can't remember it?
Yeah, I mean, that happens. Yeah, that's a constant. But I find the more you're, like this week I was in Milwaukee and Madison and Minneapolis and all this stuff. And it's like, I find the more you're on tour, the less you forget. It's when you go back into your day-to-day existence, like for me in Brooklyn, it's like that. That's when I fall apart a little bit.
Now, did your brother Joe go to meet the Pope with you?
Joe did not get the invite for the Pope.
Oh, they don't allow you to bring your management.
I brought Jenny, my wife Jenny, our daughter Una. But it's interesting, you know, because it's like I didn't, you know, I'm explaining this religion to my daughter, but I just, you know, she's not really raised religious per se. And so it's massive. And like you're saying, it's stunning. It's a stunning experience. And I'm saying to her, you know, like I was raised in this church. This is the whole thing that I was raised, you know, in this religion. And, you know, I don't believe in all of it now, but you can and grandma does. And a lot of this artwork is stolen.
You make up your own.
Yeah. But I don't think you should steal artwork, but if you do, don't give it back. I think that's the lesson. That's the lesson of the
Vatican.
You
keep it long enough, people will think it's yours.
Yeah.
We're speaking with comedian Mike Birbiglia, and I have a couple of younger daughters, as you know. And they're, of course, huge fans of Taylor Swift, like many are.
Who? Yeah.
And so we're watching this, we're watching some videos one night, and all of a sudden, I go, oh, my God, that's Mike Birbiglia. And the girls lose their minds. They can't believe it. I know him.
Yeah, I played her son in a music video.
How did that?
Her anti-hero.
Yeah, how did that happen?
Did some casting agent go, he'd be perfect for this, or?
Well, I've known for, 20 years, I've been friends with Jack Antonoff.
Jack Antonoff?
Collaborates with her. Mm-hmm. And so, in a happenstance thing, she and I met through Jack when they were writing that album. And she's one of these people who, a lot of times, she conceives of songs and videos kind of all at the same time. It's like a giant thing. And she met me around that time, and she didn't tell me this, but she thought like that. Oh, that could be that person. That could be my son, who's, if you watch the video, who's kind of nuts and has like, it's a, you know, I'm wearing like a wig in this outfit. It's like this son who like, it's like an imagination of like a horrible thing where your children, when you die are squabbling over your fortune or whatever. And so I played this kind of horrible son. And so that's that. Yeah, I was it was a dream for me. I mean, she directed it. She wrote it. It was just super cool.
Where did you film it?
Filmed it in Los Angeles. And then probably the coolest thing about it was that I got to take Una, who loves my daughter Una, who loves Taylor's music, to her first concert at MetLife Stadium
How
in
cool.
New Jersey. Yeah.
Wow, that is cool.
It's pretty cool, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Has anyone recognized you just from that?
Every now and then. The wig is pretty, it's a good deflect from what I look like. I mean, it's kind of a crazy outfit, but it's like,
true Swifties would know, though. I mean, they know everything about everything she's ever done.
Yes.
So I'm sure they know.
No, I'm sure. Yeah. No, and even before, when we showed up at the stadium, they were showing outtakes from the videos and stuff.
It's oh,
wow. Like this Megatron.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
Did Una go, that's my daddy?
She did. She kind of loves it. It's sweet.
So is she rating the Pope against Taylor Swift? Oh, Taylor wins?
That's it for another Bob and Tom Show Extra. Catch us on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. For Bob and Tom Extra, this is Christopher. Take care, everybody.
What's up, guys? David Pollack here, former Georgia Bulldog, former analyst with College Game Day, and host of my new show, See Ball, Get Ball. I'm a defensive lineman. That's why that's the name. You see the ball, you go get it. We're going to dive deep into college football. We're going to break down film. We'll have bold takes, real conversations with the biggest names in the sport every single week. If you eat, sleep, and breathe college football like I do, man, I promise you, See Ball, Get Ball is for you. So do me a favor. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.